Thank you, Lord.
If we can just put up the core values, that would be great. Pastor Bill and I have been working on, over a period of time here, core values for Frontline Ministries International. And we don't have this typed out to hand out to you at this point. But we want to highlight a few things. Just go down this so you can gaze and look and come into understanding, hopefully, and agreement. That would be great. And maybe we might put them up towards the end for those who are going out to take the kids into kingdom land. But this core values, if you can go to number one, that would be great. Core values are basically our DNA at the heart level, at the gut level. And we picked a few verses for each one just to support them, but that doesn't mean it's limited in any way to those. And we wanted to try to capture who we are on paper. We have it in many different places, but basic core values that we can hold fast to and say, Jesus, this is who we are in terms of our family heart to go forward. And it's nothing new. It's everything that we say and we do here, but it's kind of put together in a encapsulated way. So the first one, you can read it, is we understand that the only way to reach our destiny and live a fully satisfied and pure life in the process is to position ourselves to wholeheartedly and continuously seek the face of God. Psalm 63:1. Find him, Proverbs 8:17, and enjoy close companionship with him. Now, as our highest priority, Jeremiah 29:13. Can you back it up just a minute? We'll be preaching on these over the face of this next year, I'm sure. But notice here that we seek the face of God, and then we find him, and we enjoy close companionship with him. So while we're seeking his face, we have an end goal that we find him, and that we are found by him. And that's very important. So it's great to seek the face of God, but if we never connect, then that's not the best. So we want to enjoy close companionship with him as our highest priority, Jeremiah 29:13. Can you go to the next, please? And that is our way to connect. So we want to connect. We don't just want to have this ethereal God out there. We want to connect with our God. So let's go to the second one. We're just going to run through these quickly, and we're moving on. We just wanted to invite you to gaze on these. We know that contending for deep intimacy, Psalm 27:4, and for personal righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, Romans 14:17, is a non-negotiable for fiery kingdom living, providing essential components for living a consecrated, empowered, and holy life for Jesus. So we are continuing as we connect. We're continuing. Can you continue on? We are continuing to contend. So the word for that is contend. So we are contending for this deep intimacy and for personal righteousness and peace and joy. And we do believe that if we want to be fiery in the kingdom, it's a non-negotiable in terms of where we hang our hat, so to speak. We say, Lord, this is who I am. This is where I want to go. I'm not just going to decree and declare these things over myself. I want to become this message. I want to become this declaration. I want to grow in this because my heart is. And this is going to enable me to live a consecrated, set apart, empowered, and holy life. Number three, we are fully dependent on Jesus for everything, knowing that daily miracles in every area are normal, expected, and celebrated in our personal and corporate lives, Philippians 3:8 through 10. So we get to that place where we are fully dependent on the Lord Jesus and believing that daily supernatural things are happening in our midst, and they're normal, and that we expect them and celebrate. Rather than our first line of defense to go and react or respond in another way. This is how we want to respond to the Lord. We want to respond to what he's doing and what he's saying, that this becomes our normal, so that we can wake up in the morning and say, Lord, this is my normal. Even though I don't feel like it, it doesn't always happen, but this is who I am. This is the normal for me, and I'm contending for that. And that's where we depend on the Lord. Okay? And then we embrace suffering for Jesus, Philippians 1:20 and 29, if necessary, knowing that discipline and testing shape us as we are refined and conformed to his likeness as sons and daughters, no matter the cost. And we put that in there, Romans 12, 1 and 2, to say to the Lord that we are with you, we're all in, and that, Lord, if that involves us suffering for you, persecuted for you, and that's part of your plan in our lives, and you're not some God, ethereal God going, oh no, I didn't know that was going to happen, but you understand how that flows, if you will, for us, because you are in control, ultimate control. Lord, we say yes. And that's where we conform to the likeness of his son. Just a few more. We believe that our life is not our own, so we willingly lay it down as lovers submitted to the ultimate leadership of Holy Spirit as we live out our life for King Jesus in radical obedience. Philippians 2, 2 through 8. Our life doesn't belong to us, so we generously, which is just a word I'm adding right now, but not up there, but willingly lay it down. We just willingly lay down. We willingly lay it down. And we're declaring, this is who I am. This is who we are. This is our desires for us to move forward imperfectly. We all, right? We're the first ones to say that. But this is where we want to go. We don't want to have or stand for less than what the Lord says we can and we are enabled to be able to do. And that would be where we lay down. So then the next one is we seek to daily deny ourselves, take up our cross, and seriously and joyfully follow him to be his disciples, living for him without excuse because of his unfathomable loving kindness and mercy. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. And that would be another word which we called follow. We use the word follow. And then we highly value family and living in a culture of healthy community with one another as sons and daughters of our Papa, believing that Mark 12, 30 and 31, in order, and that's important, are our marching orders from God to fall and remain in love with him. To fall in love with him and remain in love with him, loving others out of that holy love. So the word that we chose for that is to remain. So our love would remain and we would increase abundantly. Then finally, we say yes to local and global missions, embracing a personal, missional lifestyle, going to the deepest and darkest places on earth, practically revolving around Luke 4, 18 and 19, right there, there's the verse on our banner, and Matthew 28, 18 through 20, as our frontline foundation and cornerstone of our hearts. And then we put in, we make, quote, his last command our first priority. And Mel Tari actually has been texting us that as he's been going in and out of various countries. And so we said, the two words, there's only one in the others, but this one says yes and go. And so before we continue on with some of the other aspects of what we're doing here, just have two videos that are back to back. And if you can put the lights out and keep the sound up, that would be great. And this is just reminding us again of the Great Commission. So let's get our lights off first, and then we'll show the first one, then the second one. Love, liberate, lead, and launch. He's awesome. Just a stirring for us. Many of us have a burning heart for missions and what that looks like, and ministry, if you will, and outreach, whatever name we want to give it. And I believe the Lord is wanting that burn to increase. When I was listening to Saturday Night from Relentless Pursuit, I was laughing. I thought, oh, Papa Mel, we love you so much. And you can say anything you want. You've been here so many years. But he made some comment. And it was just fun. And I hope he doesn't mean it. But he said, if you don't have every seat filled in here when I come next time and Troy picks me up at the airport, I'm going to turn around and go back. And he says that as a papa because he travels all over the world all the time. And he's got such a heart for what God is saying to us about the Great Commission, about setting ourselves apart, about having that in our minds and in our hearts all the time, every day. If those were Jesus' last words, and that they were those were commanding words, then that needs to be our first priority in what we're going to do. Connecting with the Lord first, that's our highest always. But within that, we need to be thinking about souls, because that's why Jesus came, so that we could connect, thank you, and that we could go to the ends of the earth together. And sometimes we can grow weary, sometimes we can even become numb, and sometimes we can actually become so familiar with a group that does a lot of this that we're not stirred anymore. We just don't get as stirred, or we make lots of excuses. I mean, it's very, very easy for that to happen. And the reason I say that is because if we have world changers in this body, that's the only way the enemy can stop, ultimately. I mean, he can try to take our life, and Jesus says no. But he can certainly water down our fire, water down our desires, water down everything, and pull us and tempt us and convince us that we just need to take a break. Rather than hearing some things that Pastor Jacob was saying about our God and what he's like and how he has discovered him even more through the difficult times, but he's pressed through and he's continued on, and because he knows that it's very important for joy to be raising in his life. For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross. So I just today wanted to take some time to go through some verses that would piggyback all of what we're saying so far, tying it in to take us back, a little bit back in our journey, just 6 months, not 20 years, but just 6 months, where we would say, Lord, I was there. Lord, I might remember. Lord, I felt the passion and the stirring at that time. I was at that luncheon. I was so proud to be there. I saw what you had done, even just at little snippets, and I'm part of that, and that's who I am, and Lord, I want that to continue to the ends of the earth, because you're all about nations, and I don't want to be one who would make an excuse. I don't want to be one who wouldn't be willing to count the cost, pay the price. I don't want to be seen by you that way, because really, if we live for an audience of one, that's really what matters, isn't it? And God has been so gracious to us, and he's giving us dreams and his visions and words and speaking to us along with his word, along with our past. I mean, he's just so good. He's so kind. As Christy was singing about today, he loves us so much that he wants us to really grab wholeheartedly where we are in 2017 in May. What are you saying right now? We can get excited about Azusa now. We can get excited about the fact that, hey, it's going to be awesome. I mean, we're going to go pray, and we're going to go listen to worship bands, and we're going to just kick it up in the spirit there. And then the next day, the Sunday after the Saturday, we're going to have Daniel Kalenda is an evangelist, and he's going to be preaching the gospel, and we're going to see signs and wonders. It's just going to be great, and we're going to get the unsaved there, or those who need to be there. And I am so excited about that. I am stirred. But there are months before that, months after that, and with that, we want to ask the Lord, so what are you doing in that? What is your plan, Jesus? And I want to position myself wholeheartedly so that the DNA that you have created on the inside of me is in high gear, and it's not, in lower drive or something. We want to be really stirred up. We want to be able to pay attention to what the Lord's saying. And I really believe in his word. He's going to tell us some things today, some things we might know, but he's going to take us deeper. And I know that gratitude and thanksgiving is a key component here. If you remember when the 10 lepers were healed, only one came back, right, to say thank you. So we want to be that one leper, and we want to actually to have a place in our hearts, in this body, where we are absolutely the most thankful people on the planet. I would venture to say that Pastor Jacob would probably be right up there with his hands up, where he just didn't even have words to describe how grateful he was to the Lord. And in that gratitude, he saw more of the Lord's heart, more of the Lord's nature. It was increased. One thing that he did write in what's called the Agape Files, which is going to be a newsletter type of thing that he puts together, and he's done a couple of these already, about some of the things that have happened to him and where he's going. He writes, in the kingdom of God, no one is a spectator, but all are passionate participants following Jesus and his call. And the good thing about the Lord that really excites me when I talk about these things, because I get very excited, as Pastor Bill knows, about what we call missions. You know, the Great Commission is a set of marching orders. It's an order from Jesus. I have all the, let's see here. Well, somebody from California, but I think I can tell her. I'll call her later. Not my sister. I really believe that when we stop and we look at what the Great Commission really is telling us, and Jesus found that to be the most important thing to say before he left this earth, that needs to resonate in our heart as our highest priority, our first priority, I should say. Highest, of course, we don't want to confuse words here, is always to connect with God. We don't want a bunch of people not connecting with God, going out and seeing what they can do. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So out of that connection with God, our first thought in our hearts would be, so as we're raising our family, as we're getting married, or we are married, as we're thinking about getting married, as we're starting our new business, or whatever we're doing, we've got this in our heart, and it's very important to us. And what does that look like, Jesus? Because we really need to examine things. I believe that we're in a season, strongly believe this, that he's speaking to each one of us about where we are. And he's taking us by the hand, and he's going like this. He's repositioning us. I know he's doing that with me. And I believe many have said that he's doing that with you as well. And we don't have to be afraid. We just have to jump. Okay, because we need to go as far and as fast as we can because he's moving right now. And so if we've been saying in the past, well, listen, this is my process, so I'm just kind of putting my toe in. Hopefully today there will be a jump start. So there's more than a toe. Because read Ezekiel 47, and the Lord says, in my presence there is wholeness, where there's going to be complete oversaturation, if you will, of us jumping in and saying, I trust you, Jesus. So in this season, we want to trust the Lord more. We want to move towards that. And the Word of God's going to open that up for us so we can unpack some things, which should be really good. I want to take a look at Luke 4, 18 and 19. So if you can put that scripture up, that would be great. Well, there it is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. Isaiah 61. There's the New King James. Did you have that one by chance? I didn't see that. But anyway, if you can find that, that would be great. This is wonderful. This is the Amplified. But I would like to kind of simplify it a little bit just to look at the whole text together. Or NASB, if you have that, that's fine. But if you can put that up, that would be good. Because in this, which is our foundation for Frontline, which always has been since we started, the Lord gave us this before anybody grabbed it and put it in a book. You know, maybe there were books out there with this, but this is what the Lord through prayer gave us as our theme for building the foundation, the cornerstone really for what we're doing. That's what he did. He gave us Luke 4, 18 and 19, and it just always tickles us. It pleases us when we see this really highlighted as this is the one of the, if not the most important synopsises of the gospel of the kingdom in scripture. We probably didn't even recognize that in fullness as much as now at that time. But what's so cool about this, it's very missional because there are three major components. There's almost a triangular way of looking at the outpouring of what happened after Jesus died and rose. And what what we're supposed to do. It was prophesied in Isaiah 61, and then Jesus stood in the synagogue. Most of you know this. We're just going to say it again. But he stood in the synagogue, and he read from Isaiah 61, and he said, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your midst." And of course, people were very angry and called him a blasphemer, and it was just not a good thing. But it was a good thing. So we know that it's true, and Jesus was saying, "Hello, guys, I'm it." So I am mission completely, all right? So our foundation is secure from that perspective. It's not whopper joggy. This is definitely who we are, with the total belief that we always connect with God to be able to walk out that anointed great commission that God tells us. So he tells us to go and give the good news and preach the gospel of the kingdom and to set the captives free and to give them the good news verbally and any other way that we can get the gospel message out, from that respect. And then there's a side of it where you kind of prove the love of Jesus, if you will. You prove the gospel. You take a step and you do something even beyond the verbal, "Let me lead you to Christ, let me spend some time with you, let me wrap my arms around you and let you know that God loves you and I'll pray for you." And beyond the next step for the fullness of the gospel of the kingdom would be to be able to be practical, to be able to help, to be able to step in, to be able to do something, build a school, put windows in a school, whatever it would be, to do something practical, feed the hungry, go take care of a lost child, start a children's home, whatever it would be, something practical to not just say, "Well, I can tell it's really rough, but, you know, I just wanted to tell you Jesus loves you." So that would be the next part of this scripture verse. And then finally in the scripture verse, it also talks about the supernatural blessings that flow out of that, the demonstration of the gospel of the kingdom, with the area of the blind seeing, the dead raising, the lame walking, and other aspects of it. That's just a very short, consolidated view of Luke 4:18 and 19. We could spend much more time on that. But suffice it to say that it's very, very significant, which is why we put it at the bottom of our celebrating 20 years. Now, to get this thing to happen, it took tremendous amount of work and effort. It was on top of relentless pursuit. So thank you again for those of you who helped putting that together. And then to have people from around the world show up and speak on behalf of the gospel of the kingdom, and also have those who couldn't make it have their videos showing or playing. It was so beautiful. There was a stirring in the spirit where I believe the Lord was smiling, saying, "Yep, now we're ready for the next. We're ready for the next 20, 40, 60, 80, how many years until Jesus returns, whatever that would be." And so the Lord is saying, "Let's do an inventory check right now. Let's see where we are. What are we thinking?" You know, if you listen to this and you hear, "So-and-so, you're supposed to bring in 14. Yeah, that'll be good," and we're laughing. "Bring in 28. You know, the idea is that we're going out beyond ourselves. We're thinking beyond what we're typically doing. Our minds have to match up, and our hearts and our wills and our emotions, with the Great Commission, that it is the highest priority, that this is what God wants. And this will change our decision-making. This will influence our decision-making, I should say, to do what God's calling us to do to enable that to happen, and then pass the baton so that our children can see that. And that becomes their normal, that they're raised in, this is just normal, this is what you do. And so if we are not willing to take a look at how we do kingdom in that realm, if we're not, especially if it's being highlighted in this season, then that's where we might say it's time to watch those two little videos again. Because God wants to change our perspective. He wants to increase it. He wants us to really grasp why it was so important for us to hear that as he was going up to heaven, he was ascending. So I'm excited about that. I know that if we think of Jesus as our ultimate, our salvation, our prize, our favored one, everything that we could possibly imagine that he could be, there is nothing greater that we live for than for Jesus. Nothing. That he is going to actually help us identify where that might not be the case. He will, if we allow him. We invite him in, and because he wants to get our attention, and he will do that. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to be whole. He wants to do the miraculous. He wants us to be set free. But many times, that's not happening as frequently as if we're not connecting in with his ways. We want to know his ways. So when we say we know him, we want to know his ways. If we have a child, or we have a parent, or we have a family member, or even us, that is chronically ill, we need to wonder why and ask God why. We're not pointing fingers, but we're saying, Jesus, I really want to understand more about your nature of healing. I used to be one who would go pray for people everywhere about healing. I couldn't even stop. There was a stirring in my heart. God's saying, let me help you with that. Let me stir you up again so that you can do that again if we're not doing that. So it's just kind of an assessing time right now. So where are we with all of this? What are you saying, Jesus, for each one of us individually? He wants us to live in revival that is actually sustainable. When we talk about revival, it's really about the reviver. And he wants us to be so tethered in with Jesus Christ, who he is, how he is, what it's like, that we will obey him easily, that it just won't be a problem. We just want to. You know, we aren't going to look at it and just say, Jesus, I think that's what your word says. Oh, I know that's what your word says. I'll get to that someday because I'm in a process. Instead, when we see the word, when we understand the word, and when we're connecting with him through worship, through reading the word other ways, that we're actually obeying him. So that helps us as we are stepping into obeying the Great Commission more and more and more. So I told Mel, I was talking to him this week or texting, and thanked him again for his fatherly input and his ways and what he said. And we've been talking to Pastor Joseo, Pastor Jose, and Pastor Samuel too. But thanking him and saying, thank you for stirring. And we have encouraged everyone to listen again and then reassess where the growth is. Has it been positive, or has there been reversal or a retraction? I don't know. And this is individual for each one of us. So we just want to look at that and see what God is saying to us. Hi, guys. So that's what I really think God wants us to see right now, so that we can look at some of these things together. Because he tells us to go to the widows and the orphans and the children who don't have parents, they don't have anybody, they don't have what we have, and he tells us to go to them. So we're going to take a look at some of the scriptures that are somewhat familiar and ask God to stir us up right now in a way that is really needed. And you may think, well, I already know this. I know this, and I'm stirred up just by thinking about it, just by talking about it. And I could ask God if he wanted to light me on fire to give this fiery message about the gospel of the kingdom. And he says to me, you are on fire. Just give this out, because I'm doing something that's going to bring about a change. I'm doing something that's going to jumpstart some people, move some people a little bit, and that's what your job is, to offer to them some considerations, okay? So let's take a look at Psalm 32:8. Can we do that? 32:8. Says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. A very important scripture verse in that he wants to do that. And we might think, well, that's very simple. Of course I want his instruction. But many times we're not heeding his instruction. We think we are. So that what we want to do is stir this up, write these down, stir these scriptures up in our hearts, that we would say, Lord, I want to do this your way. I want to do my marriage your way. I want to do my finances your way. I want to do your and listen, and it's not that you're not doing that at all, or I'm not doing that, but I believe he wants to take us deeper in the river, because we're going to get closer and closer and understand more of his nature in this season than we ever have before. I really believe that. Okay, Isaiah 58, 6 through 9. Can you put that up? Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house, when you see the naked to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. And he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, that's okay. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. That's okay. I can add that because that's another part of this, actually, where the Lord is saying, I want to highlight situations in your life that are going to take you way out of your comfort zone, maybe, more and more and more. And I'm calling you to be part of that. I'm calling you to increase in that. This is the kind of fast that I like, that this is costing you something is really what he's saying. It's not saying don't fast. You can read the scriptures all through the Old and New Testament and know we're supposed to fast because Jesus said so. Okay, it's not if we fast, it's when we fast. And that's another mandate from the Lord because he wants us to be able to connect him and fulfill all those areas of core values that aren't, to me, they're core values, let me just say, are what we feel scripture is saying for us to pattern our life after. It's not necessarily only frontline who would grab something like that. It's just when you go to the Lord and say, Lord, who are we? And you get that from him, he might expand that at another time. I don't know. There might be something else open to anything God has. But he wants us to take seriously. These are the areas that we read earlier at the very beginning, those core values. These are the areas that he has unpacked for us that are pretty deep. And they tell us something about who we say we are based on what we do, who we are, how we gather, how we worship, how we do family, how we do kingdom, the DNA of our family. So, you know, if you do an inventory check, if you want to say that, and you go back and check on that, then God can show you. It's not condemnation where you're falling short. This is not even it. It's values, things that we hold near and dear to our heart. It's like, yes, this is important. This is who you say I am, Jesus. And this is how I want to live my life. So, thank you, Lord. Maybe at the end we'll try to put some of those up. But let me go ahead and we'll, if we can play that video, that would be great. This guy is, his name is Francis Chan. Some of you who've been through premarital counseling in the past and currently have read his book and used his book, and we've kind of used it as a tool. Early ones that we've married, we didn't have that, but in recent years we have. But this guy is really cool, I think, because he does talk very straight about the Great Commission and how it is very important, you know, to be able to formulate a pattern in your own lives, to be able to grab onto those words. But he wants to talk to us a little bit practically. It's only 2 minutes, but I think you'll enjoy what he's saying when we are trying to say, yes, Jesus, I want to go forward. Kind of direct, kind of simple, you know, kind of a fun way to say, I think he's serious, we need to obey him, right? So Francis Chan's a crack up, he's awesome. But the idea is that we will take that spiritual inventory, you know, with the Lord and say, oh, man, where am I right now? You know, we can't make excuses with the Lord. I'm not looking to hear anybody's process at the moment. You know, this is between you and the Lord, where he's saying, listen, I've called you. You used to be hot on fire. You're not, if that's the case. I don't know. Or I want to take you into another place. I want to do something different with you. Oh, yeah, I know. I've got kids and I've got a job and I've got this and I've got that and da 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 da. He says, that's not what I'm saying. I want to talk to you about you because these are really important words. I need you to understand. I need you to understand when I said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. I need you to see yourself as being anointed and then step into something that's going to way take you somewhere that you didn't think necessarily you'd be going, however that's to look. And then to really, just really say yes to God. Say yes to God before you know what it is. Yes. And then not backpedal. Because if we backpedal, I will tell you, the enemy will come in and say, ha ha, there's one who's really weak. Go get him. It's the truth. If we make excuses like that. And the enemy will do that. He doesn't have to, because we can just talk ourselves right out of it and either call something that is not Holy Spirit, we call it Holy Spirit to make ourselves feel better, or we just plain out don't want to do it. And then we get nervous or we get offended or we get mad because it makes us uncomfortable if we start going with, you know, our heart, our feelings of, oh man, I don't like this. Couldn't they say God loves me and just stop? But we are saying God loves us because Jesus gave us these words. So he's trying to show us that this is the key to great joy, to be able to do everything he's wanting us to do. And to come out of striving and into doing for him. There's a difference. It doesn't mean you don't do things to get out of striving. It means that you say yes. And then he helps you over some of the things that possibly are the reasons for the striving. So, anyway, let's look at this verse, which would be Luke 14, 12 through 14. And that's why I wanted you to keep up. Thank you, Carly. That verse 12, that was perfect, because that just ties into this, too. I didn't even realize it, so thank you, Jesus. So Luke 14, 12 through 14 says, and he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Kind of strong words, Jesus. What do you mean? What are you trying to say? He's really looking at the condition of our heart, but not just saying, here is the condition. He's saying, now I'm going to tell you what we're going to do about that. Let's go. Because if we believe that very first verse that we put up there, that he's the one who is really leading us and he's showing us what we're to do, he wants us to pay attention, to say yes, even to our own uncomfortable place, probably, maybe. Or we're already stepping into some of this going, yeah, bring them on. Give me the poor, the lame, the broken, hurting. And the Lord says, now I'm going to channel that in a way that's going to increase the fruit so that the fruit remains. And I'm going to increase you. Whoever would have thought that Pastor Jacob, who had tons and tons of supernatural protection and experiences, he would just sit and tell us these things at his table and be like, oh yeah, I took this Jeep, you know, and I was going down to rescue these kids, and there these guys came out with their knives and their guns, and they must have seen a big angel behind me because they just looked and they ran. You know, it's like, whoa. And, you know, there are a lot of things that he had. He did have some difficulties. But this, where he's thrown in jail for 4 years and almost killed many times, and the Lord protects him I mean, to talk to him on the phone when he was in jail, actually in the hospital, recovering from being tortured in jail a couple of different times. I mean, that just wrecked my heart. It's like, how can I want to jump up on a chair and say, can I tell you what's going on inside of me? If you could just come in and read my mail on the inside and you just know, I mean, this is exceptional. There is just so much that God wants to unpack through this one little life, you know? And there's so much more personally for me that I haven't even tasted of yet. And that I know, but I've never been more excited than I am right now, ever in my life. Is that saying it's easy? No. It is not. But I am. And the best thing I can do is continue to hopefully give glory to the Lord and grow and increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man and boldness and anointing and be able to release that wherever I am in the world. And right now I'm right here. So that's my heart. But I can't change anybody. I can't even change myself. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to change us. But it's going to take our cooperation, right? And so we kind of work on things. We're working on getting better, and we keep falling into the same trap. It's because in many cases, we are not all in some of those areas. And the Lord's helping us, and he's teaching us about warfare. He's teaching us about something better. He's teaching us about our nature and his nature. And he's showing us where the old man is rising. He's showing us where things have happened all throughout our life, maybe generational things. I mean, he's showing all kinds of stuff to us. And he's saying, I'm highlighting what happened 6 months ago. What are you going to do with it? Honestly, I was telling Pastor Bill, I said, this is about missions. Oh, okay. We're going to Mozambique. Would I like to have everybody in this whole place go with us? Oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be just great. Put a little sign on the door, put a video on, we'll see you. We all go, and that'd be cool. We all get on the plane. God is good. Who knows what's going to happen? But anyway, that's my heart. It's just so good. But the thing is, what I feel is that if our passion for things like this, we call it things like this, is strong, do you know that the enemy would love to come and say, don't you just want to shut her up? Because really, she's judging you because you're not doing what she thinks you should be doing or what you are doing or you're not doing something right. All these stinking lies. Instead of being captured by the enthusiasm of whomever is around you, okay? That's a trick. It's a trap of the enemy. It's a big one, and it's been effective. And we got to stomp that. We got to stomp those buggers that are coming after us. I'm telling you, this is a season. God is saying, I'm going to fill this place. And it's not about numbers. So when you listen to Mel, if you start thinking that's a problem. I mean, he's led millions to Christ. But he so believes in what we're doing here. You just can't even imagine. I still scratch my head and go, because he sees the genuine love for Christ. And he sees the genuine devotion as worshipers. We're worshiping the Lord. Do you know when we're going to the poor and the lost and the broken and the contrite of heart and spirit, do you know that's our act of worship? That's what it is. It's not just holding a microphone and singing or playing the drums. That's wonderful. But the Lord's saying, I'm going to check your heart and I'm going to do something in your heart. And your heart is going to match up with what I want to see happen. And this is a tool and this is a way. Okay, if we're standing there and we're singing and somebody is over there and they're beating each other up, are you going to let it happen? No. You're going to go over and help that person. And there's nothing wrong with singing. So don't get me wrong. Do I believe there's going to be this great big worship thing around the world? Of course. But God is saying, I'm still a practical God. When we go to Mozambique, as we're worshiping and people are coming out and signs and wonders are happening, okay, and demonized people come forward. You invite a witch to come up and they come? How weird is that? Come, you'll be free. How many of you have demons? I do. And they come up. That's God. That's the power of God. God is really intentional. But if that witch is hungry, we're going to give her something to eat. So God is saying, I'm very, very practical. But don't get hung up on the humanitarian practical side without connecting with me and seeing the Great Commission and seeing how it all fits together. That's the best case scenario. So you want to call us humanitarian? That's great. That's fine. I don't care. The point is, it's got to be so close with Jesus and myself, Jesus and yourself, that we are stoked to want to fulfill every possible avenue. We can walk down every possible avenue for the Great Commission, and we can chew on those verses for the rest of our life and say, show me more, show me more, show me more. I don't want to be one who makes excuses. Back when I was a younger mom and my kids were small, I would just stop and pick up people. I would stop and do things like that because that I just couldn't see somebody over here on the side that was sick, hurting, lost, broken. They needed something. I had to stop because that's who I was at that point. And I hope I still am. But the point is, whether you are doing that or not, God wants us to see. He wants us to see with those eyes that we're looking into his face and he's looking back. He wants us then to be so captured by him that his eyes are looking out and seeing that one over that's broken and lost. Those are his eyes. He wants us to be captured by his eyes. More and more. I just know it's coming. I know what God's going to, I know a little bit about what he's going to do because he's whispering some things here. Let's look at Psalm 73:25. Jesus. 73:25 says, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. What? Come on. I thought he likes family. Can't we just have a party? Or whatever we do, you know, with families. Sometimes it's a sad time. Sometimes it's a happy time. Whatever. But whom have I in heaven but you? In other words, living in light of eternity is not just a nice name for a book. But we want to live our life in light of God's giving us rewards and he's giving us things that we need to be connecting in. He wants us to think and see him as the one who's preparing us on this very short journey for a very, very long time, which is forever. And you're the only one. And that's got to be our heart. That's our heart for what we want to do with the kids here, with the teenagers and the 20-year-olds and such, the college age. We want that to increase. We've had visions. We've had all kinds of things saying, hey, this place is going to be populated. People are going to be drawn. Where are they? I just cry out to the Lord. Say, Lord, stir up everybody in here, whoever has even wanted that. Stir them up to do what they're supposed to do, because you're already doing what you're supposed to do. That's all. What else can you do? You can't make people do something. But you know, when you wait, there's holiness in waiting. There's the holiness of God is really on the table, because God, you said. It's like, okay, all right. So while I wait, I am going to do whatever I can do in that wait. That's important. Okay, let's look at Matthew 25, 35 through 40. Another familiar passage, but let's think about it. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you? He missed that. It was another text. Just back it up two more if you can. If not, Jesus is responding. I can just tell you if you can get it, that's fine. But the Lord is saying, When you have done any of these things, you've been doing it to me and you've been seeing me, basically. So she'll get it up and then I'll read this. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? Verse 38. And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Now, let me just throw this out. We watched Francis Chan. Let's take that verse, those passages. If you can put those other two up, Carl, just let me know. Can you see him making a joke about this? Yes, Lord, I memorized your scripture. I get it. I can repeat it. I even got a little tag for being the best memory person that is in Frontline. But actually stepping out and doing these things, this is something new beyond where we are Because this is what Jesus has. This is how he wants to populate heaven. He wants us to go to the ends of the earth together. And he wants us not to say, well, listen, when I raise my kids, they're really small, you know. He doesn't say that in there. Yeah, whoop, you're getting on, whoop. That's when I shut down, the wall comes up. Beam me up, Scotty. No, I'm just trying to make a point that wherever we are in our life, the Lord is telling us, don't take a look at your circumstances, take a look at my word and get close to me and watch what I will do. And I already know you have 15 kids. I already know that you're taking care of a family member. You know, I already know those things. Don't you think I'm big enough to know how to navigate around all those things so that you're still in joy? And you're changing in the way that you view the Great Commission, and you might have to change the way you look at some of the situations that you are in also. Because, you know, I'm not God, and you're not God, but he does speak to us, and he does want us to change. And he does want us to be healed, and he does want us to be whole. Every time Pastor Jacob was tortured, the Lord healed him. It was rough. I mean, to the point of death, every single time. He should not be here, and he knows it. So what does he do when he gets out of prison? Wouldn't you guys go take a vacation or something? I mean, go do something. This guy went to the darkest places he could get to, and he's still doing it. He's texting me saying, pray, you know, my father is a little concerned because I'm going, and Ina's fine, but my father's upset, so because he's kind of worried about me. I don't know why. He's only been gone 4 years and tortured in prison and everything else. But this is the drive on the inside of him. It's growing because of his gratitude, because of the call in his life, because of his understanding of the gospel. He lives in light of eternity. He's thinking about the kingdom, you know, those kinds of things. So God wants to do that for us with who we are. He wants to tailor make it for our life, but he doesn't want us to stop his process. For I was hungry, and this is Jesus speaking, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. So in all these passages so far, we're talking about going to the poor, going to the broken, going to the low, going to the poor in spirit, but going also to physically desperate people, emotionally desperate people. He's talking about this. He's saying, okay, give your money to support. What's going on? Dig deep. Don't just save for 20 years when your kids need to go to college and you're going to have it paid for. We might not be here. Fund what God is doing. I don't know where that came from, but I don't even know what you guys are doing. I'm just throwing out that sometimes we want to be so perfect in the way that we're doing our finances that some of the things that we should be in funding aren't being funded. Honestly. And this is a very generous group, so I'm just speaking out that this is how it is. We heard that Lou Engel sold his house for the sake of the call. I don't know, when was that, last year? I'm not sure exactly when that was. Because God told him to, and he felt that he wanted to. Someone had been paying for him to live for many, many, many years, and that ended. So that's what he decided to do. So let's take a look at those kinds of things. Let's take a look at what God really wants to do inside of us in those areas beyond where we are, just beyond. Because sometimes we're trying to protect ourselves more than we think rather than saying, Lord, you know what? Thank you for this income. Thank you for this income. Where do you want it sown? What do you really want me to do? So that's just an extra point. Okay. Can you put up the final little paragraph here? This is something that Roland Baker wrote, and I just want to close with this. And it says, the goodness of God leads man to repentance. That's Romans 2:4, okay? The goodness of God. But I want us to think about God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I want you to think about this, because he is good. That's a non-negotiable, and so that's true. And when the goodness of God comes, we need to know what is goodness? How is that determined from his perspective? If that leads man to repentance, interesting thought. It's like, well, if I have all kinds of things, I mean, you know, bring heaven to earth, you got to have everything down here. And I'm going to have my ducks in a row, and I have a pretty good home and life and family and lots of money and spouse that makes lots of money and da-da-da or whatever it would be. You know, God said he wanted to bless, so I'm living underneath that blessing, which is really nice. And so, you know, that's going to help me repent. Really? Okay, let's take a look at the sentence or the paragraph here. This is written by Rollin. God's goodness is defined by his holiness. Now think about this. His goodness is defined by his holiness. We've had holy clubs for this whole school year. And many of you have been taking that and have learned a lot more about the holiness of God, what that really looks like, and then trying to commune with the Lord from that perspective that he truly is. He is very, very, very approachable and holy and righteous, which makes him good in the sense that God is good, but he is defined by his holiness. He is not mocked. You reap what you sow. Our desire, now catch this part, desire. Our desire, now we want to have good desires, right? We're going to wrap this up at this point. But our desire, and I don't know what level it is for you or you or you or you or me, okay? What's our level of desire? The Lord measures that, all right? So our desire for righteousness or righteous living and freedom, there isn't anybody who would say, well, I don't want to be righteous, and I don't want righteousness to increase. My righteousness is as filthy rags, but the righteousness of God is great, and I want to walk in my righteousness, and I want to have, I want everything that I do to filter through this righteous robe that I'm wearing that Jesus gives me. Yes. Okay, our desire for righteousness and freedom, and you know what freedom is. We don't need to talk about freedom. Freedom is anything that is the opposite of bondage, right? Anything that looses us to things of the kingdom. So if we're walking in Isaiah 58, we're increasing in freedom. You see? So what we determine to be freedom is not necessarily what God says. So we need to see, what do you mean by freedom? So freedom from sin, found only in Jesus, leads us to him. So let's back that up for a second. Back it up, please. Our desire for righteousness and freedom from sin, which is found only in Jesus, leads us to him. So that desire is something that he is releasing to us in us because he loves us so much. So if our desire is kind of it's not so strong, or it used to be stronger, we need to commune with him and say, I want to connect with you because my desire is here, and so I want to embrace you at that place, but I want it to grow. And so I'm asking you, Lord, just pull me into your heart, connect me in your bosom like this, but I give you every opportunity and right. I will not hold myself back and say, I won't. I have. So whatever that looks like, I just say I'm all in, completely. All right? So that freedom from sin found only in Jesus leads us to him. It is his goodness that offers us salvation. His goodness, because he's good, he offers this, which is the way of escape. And he tells us to work out our salvation, doesn't he? He says, work it out. That's what we're doing today. This is part of working it out. To appreciate that, you need to know what we are being saved from. Not being interested in being saved from the consequences of sin is to reject God's goodness. Let that sink in for just a minute. Think about that. Let's take a look at that. If we sin, which we do, all sin and fall short of the glory of God, right? And there are consequences to that state of being, and Jesus came to set us free so we wouldn't have to absorb those consequences, right? But anytime we do set foot into an area that is not God's very best, okay, that we would call a breach of love or sin, you want to call it that. It says there are consequences of sin. And if we reject God's way for how he wants to take care of that in our life, we're rejecting his goodness. So bottom line, what that can suggest is that if we want to go forward in some of these areas, and we've been used to hearing, okay, well, I might have some issues, and I'm trying to overcome them, and I'm giving them to the Lord, I don't know what else to do, and it just keeps coming. You know how we go sometimes, right? But look at it differently now, or just maybe add this to your mindset, our set, okay? That we actually are saying no to the goodness of God because he wants to increase our desire. We can be free. We can be as free as we want to be. We can be free. We can know him. We're in this process with him, and we don't want to hinder that in any way because we're hindering his goodness if we hinder that. That's the point. Because his goodness, let's go back to the beginning of it. His goodness is defined by his holiness. So you have this holy, righteous God, we do, who is saying, oh, I love you so much. I am so in love with you. You can understand this. You're going to understand my ways. You have desires for me, and I'm increasing those desires because you're cooperating with me, and the more your desires match up with mine, says Papa, the freer you become. The freer we are. We have more freedom because we're thinking like him. We have the mind of Christ. We're not puppets. But how can we say God's in control then? Because he is. But that means when our desires match up with who he is, then we are experiencing greater freedom. So let's look at it from the top again. God's goodness is defined by his holiness. He is not mocked. You reap what you sow. So if we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly, right? Not just monetarily, but in every way. Let's say for our own personal increases or walk. Our desire for righteousness and freedom from sin, which is found only in Jesus, leads us to him. In other words, as that desire increases, which he's behind, we come closer to him. And then we see more, we are so enamored by, we're captured by his holiness that we can't help but bow down. It's beautiful. We can't lose. All we have to do is say yes. The Lord sees the problem and provides the solution. To appreciate that, you need to know what we are being saved from, not being interested in being saved from the consequences of sin, wherever sin would exist, is to reject God's goodness. That really hit me. I've been thinking about that one. Reject God's goodness. Because he's so good, he wants us to be free from anything that would hinder us with him. That's our holy God. And I'm going to tell you guys, there are a lot of different mindsets out there, very permissive mindsets that defy the holiness of God because misunderstanding, lack of desire, I don't know, call it what you want, but not seeing that it's just not okay. Maybe they can't find a scripture for it that they want, but it's just not okay because it doesn't match up with the holiness of God. So we want our desires for him to increase. Amen? So as we're finished here as far as going through some of these things, but I have a five-minute, just a song that I want to play for you folks, and you can just sit there. And it was actually at Azusa Now back in L.A. in April last year. I just want you to listen to it. And I'm going to ask, what time is it? We can have the kids come out, I think. I think we can do this. We'll do it. We'll let them stay in there for 5 minutes, right? I think they're kind of wild here, which is fine. We'll just take 5 minutes, and then after 5 minutes, if we wanted to play it again, you can, but then just go get the kids. Let's give you a few minutes to just absorb some of these things that have been released today. When we're talking about the goodness of God, the holiness of God, the Great Commission, where we are right now, going back, thinking about things and recalibrating, I think. Because I think we're just positioning ourselves for something very big God has for us beyond what we understand. So if we can go ahead and flip that. I forgot to say that. Yes, I typed this out and sent it to her. I forgot that. Back it up again, please. To appreciate that, you need to know what we are being saved from. Not being interested in being saved from the consequences of sin is to reject God's goodness. And then this final sentence, every great revival starts with the conviction of sin. Now think of this for the revival around here, the revival in your own heart, the revival in your family, just revival. But he's, I think, talking about big revivals here, but still, think of the word revival. It begins with the conviction of sin. Otherwise, we can't appreciate his love and mercy. Make sense? Okay, so we'll take it. Thank you. I forgot I put that in there. So let's take it from the beginning. I'll just read it through. You guys can think on this. And then just listen to this music and, Lord, here I am. And then he'll do whatever he wants to do and you, and we're done. All right. God's goodness is defined by his holiness. He is not mocked. You reap what you sow. Our desire for righteousness and freedom from sin, found only in Jesus, leads us to him. It is his goodness that offers us salvation. To appreciate that, you need to know what we are being saved from. Not being interested in being saved from the consequences of sin is to reject God's goodness. Every great revival starts with conviction of sin. Otherwise, we cannot appreciate his love and mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. Thank you for what you've done today, Lord, what you've deposited, Father. We just thank you for just being who you are, Jesus. We just bless your holy name. Just be blessed in going out and be encouraged and strengthened. And I hope you're stirred up to just take nations for Jesus, whatever that looks like. God bless you all. Love you guys.